Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Now, the last number of days, and yesterday especially, we were taken up, I'm sure nearly all of us were, with the coronation. Even if you did not want to be, you couldn't help but avoid. It's a great event. I mean, it happens only now and again. And, you know, you've been part to see something of that, of Charles III being coronated, all the pomp, all the ceremony. And, of course, there was that pledging of allegiance. And, you know, our minds are taken to what it is to be a king, to be coronated, to know that event. And you witnessed it. And millions throughout the earth saw and watched King Charles being coronated yesterday. But I want you to think just for a moment of another king. And what you find here in God's word, we have the news of a kingdom. This book tells us from the Old Testament to the New Testament that there is the kingdom of God. And the promise is that a king then would come even to this world. And what you find in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, you find this, do you not? You find the very truth that when he was born, there were those who came looking for him and said, where is he who was born King of the Jews? And then what happens in his life, you know that he grew, and there was that time when he came manifested at the age of 30. And something very significant happened. He went through those waters of baptism. And what happened and what took place was that there was then that anointing which came upon him from above. He was anointed, was he not, as the king and as the Messiah. And then you find that people were to proclaim him as the Messiah. And then you have the time when he comes to that place of Calvary. And you know that over the cross was the inscription, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But I just want to focus tonight on his coronation, of what took place that very day when he was placed upon that cross of Calvary. We're told to do this in remembrance of him. And I want to read to you just these few verses in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 27. And it's an amazing picture. Remember this now. The picture which is given to us of the cross of Calvary. In Scripture, it is given to us as the great pulpit to which God then proclaims his love to the world and preaches that good news. The cross is proclaimed to us as the place of the law court where justice is being met and we who are guilty can go free. At the very cross, it is a place of healing and of fountain. But tonight I want to show you it's the place of coronation. And it's found there in verse 27 of Matthew chapter 27. And just these few verses. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took off the robe off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Now you realize that when you read that and what you saw yesterday, there are so many different aspects to being coronated. And the third session of the coronation was the robing of the king. He's had the anointing. And then after that, when he comes and he sits on the throne, and they present to him, don't they, various artifacts which come into his hand. Well, what you had on that very day, although they were doing it in jest, I just want to show you that what took place there was nothing less than that very coronation where our Lord Jesus Christ, as I'll show you, was being enthroned in his power and in his glory. And the very first thing that they did was that place of the robing. It tells us there that they stripped him in verse 28 and put a scarlet robe on him. Now it's Matthew that highlights, because Matthew is the gospel of the king, and he highlights the very fact that Jesus Christ has come to establish his kingdom. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he had a robing. They robed him. Actually, when you read the scriptures, our Lord and Savior was robed twice. Everything about Jesus is highly significant. I remember just watching it yesterday when King Charles was getting out to that big carriage, and then they were describing the very clothes that he was wearing. Everything had a significance. And what happens then, you see, what you find when the Lord Jesus comes into this world, don't discard anything about the Lord Jesus. Everything about him, everything attached to him has great significance. And when it says that when he was born and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes, you're being told something about the Saviour. What you're being told is this, that God actually came in flesh. He was had a body. He was wrapped, his feet and his toes and his legs, his little arms, they were all wrapped up. God was in a body. He was human, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. When you read of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, and then there was a woman who wanted to just touch the hem of his garment, and you say, well, what was that? It was the tassels of his garment. And that very tassels were actually showing that he was wearing something which identified him as the teacher, as the prophet, as the one now, the Lord Jesus, who had come into this world. And then he was there as that great teacher of God. You find it again, do you not, on that very cross of Calvary. I don't know exactly what to make of it, but the scriptures tell us that they divided his garments. And then there was one which they did not divide. It was without seam. All I know is that there's a fulfillment of prophecy. The Lord Jesus, in what he wore, points us to something about himself. And here you find it now. And it's not by chance they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. You find again, actually, that before this very robing, he had already been robed by none other than Herod himself. It took place there in Luke chapter 23. He comes to Herod, and in verse 11, and Herod and his men of war treated him with contempt and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. And every time you read about these robes of Christ, it has great meaning. The Lord Jesus, do you know, was robed as king by two different people. He was robed as king by Herod, who was king of the Jews. He was robed as king by these Roman soldiers who were the Gentiles. And it tells us tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they understood it or not, he is the king not only of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles. There's a gospel tonight. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also then to the Greek. And when you think of this robing of Christ, it speaks of the power in a scarlet robe. John tells us in a purple robe, but whatever they were doing in mockery and spite, yet tonight we want to say, we've come to a coronation, and there's none which is like it. And Jesus Christ is King. And you know, you need to come to him, every one of us here this evening, and acknowledge, as we were asked to do yesterday, but could you not do it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That now, as you've come on this very moment and you think of Jesus Christ, you can say, I bow the knee, because Jesus Christ was born a king. He died a king. The Lord Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That was one of the sessions of the coronation that took place. But not only that, you find it there in verse 29. There's something else that happens in a coronation. It's the crowning which takes place. And it was all fascinating, wasn't it, yesterday? I mean, trying to work it all out. But if I got this right, there are two crowns. There is the imperial crown, and there is then the King Edward's crown. And what had happened was this, is that when Queen Victoria was being coronated, King Edward's crown, which weighed, we're told, 5 pounds, was too much for her. So they had another crown made, which is now used as the imperial crown and is used for the state opening of Parliament. But then you've got now this crown that Charles wore, which is handed down, so beautiful as it is, those crowns. But there's no crown like this. I was watching Camilla being crowned. It was a bit dodgy, she wasn't sure. You need these crowns to be fitted. Well, there is no better fitted crown for the Lord Jesus than this one. You read it there in verse 29. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. And there it is. A crowning takes place. Now this crowning, as you know, there is none like it. No one has ever worn such a crown. And we know the history of it, but we can't help but understand something of the meaning and the significance. And when they talk about Charles, and yes, the burden he will have to bear of carrying the crown, but with this crown, as you know, it is that which symbolizes that sin and that rebellion and that curse of God which has come into this world. There was a day when God made this world and there was no thorns, no thistles, no weeds in your garden. Everything was perfect and everything was right. And a day came and Adam took and wanted to become like God, and he wanted it to be grasped, and sin entered into this world. And God came to him that very day that Adam sinned, that very evening of that day, and that judgment was passed, and that curse was passed. And curse was upon this world. By the sweat of your brow, you're now going to work. And it's going to bear forth not your flowers, but your thorns and your thistles. And you know, when God planted that thorn in the earth that day, he knew that one day he would bear it on his head. It's the curse, the curse. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is crowned with this crown of thorns, where he became, you see, the curse for us. O sacred head so wounded, with grief and scorn weighed down, what anguish he knew in the very aspect of bearing that crown. I'll just show you that verse is found in Galatians. And it's found in Galatians chapter 3. And there it is in verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I'm just saying to you, that on that coronation, there was a crown which was made by man's sin, made by man's spite, made for the King of Kings. But you know what he did? He carried on his head that curse, that burden, that sin, that weight, that shame. And although it may be, and they tell me, and you know what it feels like, just having a thorn in your hand, and the pain that you can feel, and the poison that it inflicts into your body. It was just, that's a symbol of what took place on that cross of Calvary, when he took that burden of what it was to be accursed of God, and said, my God, why do you forsake me? It's the coronation of our great King. I think we need to come to it. Look to it again there in verse 29. And they bowed, and then it says, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Now, well, look, you saw it. You know what's taking place here. When they had robed him, and then when he had that crown placed upon him, do you remember what they did? You had people coming to bring him certain things. And what they did, they brought him two scepters. One was 3 foot long, and then there was a small scepter. And the small scepter was supposed to be the scepter of equity and justice. But the scepter which is given to the king was a symbol again of the rule and of his reign, to exercise the power. I don't know what they do, but you know, they stretched out their scepter, and commands could be given, and people could be called, and it was placed into the hands of the king. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, he was not from this world, and yet they gave him a scepter. Now, do you find this extraordinary in any way? I mean, who has ever robed you? Who has ever crowned you? Who has ever put, even in mockery, a scepter in your hand? But the Lord Jesus Christ was given this scepter, and listen, they put a reed in his hand, and they bow down and say, Hail, King of the Jews. I want you to think of that scepter, because that scepter tells us something about the reign of Jesus Christ. One day, Jesus Christ is coming back again. He's coming back as a powerful king, and it's going to be written on his thigh, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And on that day, what he'll have with an iron rod will be in his hand. What it means is this: when that day comes, he's going to deal with the nations of the earth, the injustice, all the sin. It's going to come to an end. He's coming in his great might and in his great power. But when he was on this earth, he did not come with the iron rod. And then he came in his gentleness and his meekness. You see, King Charles had two scepters. One was for justice and equity. The Lord Jesus Christ has two scepters. One is an iron rod, and one, you see, is one of grace and one of mercy. And they put a reed in his hand. Now, I know perhaps this reed may be different to the reed that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of when he says, speaking of the servant of God, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. But please note it. There is the reign of Jesus Christ this night, and the scepter which is in his hand is like that reed. You know what a reed looks like. You know how fragile a reed can be. But it was placed in his hands. And when he reigns tonight, which he does, he reigns with his grace and with his mercy. And there's a tenderness about him that in that reed which is placed into his hands, he will not break. Look, tonight you may not realize it, but when we pray for the kingdom of God to come, we are not Muslims. Our kingdom is not made by a sword. Our kingdom is by this word and by his Holy Spirit, by the wonderful word of the gospel, which he sends out into this world. And we call men and women even to him tonight. And when you think of the tyrants in this world who are given that scepter of power, think of Putin and others, and how they take the lives of many, cause such destruction. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to assure you, his reign is one of grace and of mercy. Look, you need the rule, and you need the rule of Jesus in your life and over your life. We're living in a cruel world, and it's filled with hardness and spitefulness. But with Jesus Christ, This is the scepter he bears. I'm always mindful of it. A bruised reed he will not break. I don't know how you feel tonight. I don't know what life's thrown at you. I don't know if you're on the edge in any way. You know, it can happen to us. It really can. And we are so prone, aren't we? We're like little reeds, blown so often in the wind here and there. We can easily snap in any shape and any form. And someone says to you, well, what about you? Any one of us can break. Something can happen in our lives which can break every single one of us. And I know that. Many times I've prayed to the Lord in times of great burden. I've never said to the Lord, I will not break. I've only ever said to him this, if I do break, let me break in your hands. In your hands. Because a bruised reed I know is safe in his hands, because he's got such gentleness of rule. There's something else that you have in a coronation, and it's not making it up in any way. What happens then, we read that in verse 30, and they spat at him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. That's his throne. No, it's definitely his throne. It's where he then rules and has his power. We know that to be the case because it tells us in John chapter 12 and in verse 31. Here it is in verse 31, speaking of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up. And what he's telling us is this. When he himself is to be placed on that cross, then in that place, the principalities, the powers, the rulers, these forces, these hidden powers within this world, they're dethroned. Now they are cast down. This is from where he rules. And yesterday, as you saw, there were three thrones. There were three thrones. There was some throne in the middle, I was watching. There was Camilla's throne. And then there was a throne where King Charles was on. But there's never been a throne like this throne. They took him and they did not realize what they were doing to be crucified. And on that very day on which the Lord Jesus Christ was placed upon that cross, from that cross, Jesus Christ has the victory and the power. He conquers death on that cross. He conquers the dominion of sin and of darkness and of the devil. On that cross, the Lord Jesus, with all evil which is against him, he then puts it and condemns it and he brings it down as nothing. That cross is powerful. He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. And when you think of the way that Jesus Christ rules in the hearts of men and women, where does he rule it from? He rules it from his cross. He rules it from his throne. And if anybody wants to become a Christian here tonight, you know where you have to come to. You know the place, don't you? You don't go to Galilee, to where he walked around the seashores. You don't go to the town of Nazareth, do you? Where do you go? You go to Calvary. Go to the place where he rules. You go to the place where the power is found. You come to him and you come to Calvary and you say, Lord, you are my King. You are my God. It's to Calvary I come and to that throne, this throne of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Do you know, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning in heaven. We know that. We know that when he died and he rose again, he ascended, There was a great procession. The everlasting doors opened up. And there he was. He was placed. And he's on that throne. But in the lives of men and women, he captivates the hearts from the cross. The obedience that he draws from you and me does not come from the throne of heaven. It comes from the throne of Calvary. As our Lord, as our Savior, for all that he's done for us. That's from that throne he draws in his people, and his kingdom then does grow. I just needed you to come to this coronation. The coronation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a bit different, but it is a coronation that took place. I know I've shared this illustration before, but it's poignant of this passage. There was a crucifix which was found in a Saxon abbey. I'm not sure if it was Westminster Abbey, you know, a place where they've had worship over 1,000 years. The only thing about this crucifix, we're not into crucifixes, is that it was a bit different. What it had was this. It had the person of the Lord Jesus in all his priestly garments. And although he was on a cross, his eyes were not filled with suffering, and neither were they closed. His eyes were open in serenity. He was one which was crowned in power. And on this cross, his hand was outstretched down, welcoming sinners which would come then unto him. And whoever thought of that, which I'm not into, actually captured something very important of dealing with that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his coronation. It is his throne. It's where he exercises his power and his love. That's the one we all need to come to. And he's the one we all need to blow our allegiance to.